There, we're recording. I can see the numbers moving. So, Jim Moore talking with Mike Donahue in Portland, Oregon. And it's the 2nd of February. The groundhog did not see its shadow this morning.
Which means,
actually, early.
Yeah, early.
Early spring.
I've never figured that quite out.
No.
You'd think if he saw his shadow, the sun was coming up earlier.
Right.
It was shining earlier, right. But... It doesn't work that way. It's just the reverse.
So. Yeah, and 6 weeks from now is the beginning of spring anyway, so it's just weird. So I wanted to ask you about you as a journalist and Vicatea. And so first, general things on Vic that you remember. I don't know if you knew him when he was in the legislature. He was the Republican leader, but there were only six or seven Republicans in the Senate at that time.
Right. I remember my first exposure to him was I was working as an intern, essentially, in 1968, right out of college. I only had 4 months at COIN, would have to go into the service in an OCS program. And they sent me out to cover it wasn't a debate, I believe it was a news conference with him in Washington County, Beaverton, or someplace like that. And that was my first look at Vicatea. And he was tough. He wasn't a real, he would have that smile, but you never felt like it was that genuine. He was tough with an audience, with someone that was challenging him with a question, for example.
Right.
And but very much trying to communicate with that person. He always seemed to me over the years to be very focused, very focused person. When he'd made up his mind what he was going to do, it was probably hard to change it. But I just remember that particular experience. I don't know why, but maybe it was the first time I'd got a chance to do some reporting before I left. But that was my first exposure to him. And he has a physical message, I think, you get from him, or I did anyway. He's stocky. He's strong. His body is strong. Was a guard, I guess, for the University of Oregon. Almost went to the Green Bay Packers, but gave that up too when he took the family business. But he kind of that tough, strong vision. I was a little bit put off by him because of that. You know, I didn't feel like he was like some politicians go out of their way to, you know, maybe it's phony, but try to make you feel like you're their best friend. And Vic was a little more standoffish then. But that was my first exposure to him. And I came back in 72 and began to see a lot more of him then. And he mellowed a great deal over time, in my opinion of him. There was a man who generally wanted to be liked by the news media and would pick out certain people. I always kind of felt like I had a close relationship with him. So that would be my first impressions. Really, and I looked it up here before, my impression of Vicatea is a Boy Scout. He was a Boy Scout. He was an Eagle Scout, and then he spent many years as a regional leader of the Boy Scouts. And if you look at the Boy Scout, it's a law, I think, the Boy Scout law. Let me get it here for you. Maybe you can look it up too, of course. But it just is Vicatea to me.
Is this the Thrifty, Brave, True?
The what?
The Thrifty, Brave, True, and Reverent one? Or
No.
Okay.
This is,
My Boy Scouts is a long time ago. We recited the Thrifty, Brave, True at his memorial service.
Oh, we did. I didn't get to go to that. Let me see. Here it is. Let's see. Find it. But I'll show this. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem.
Well, anyway, I'll just take the outline. Anyway, the first thing was trustworthy, and that's him, trustworthy. He told you the truth, I really believe, most of the time anyway. Wasn't always afraid of the consequences, although any politician has to weigh with public opinion.
Right.
People, he'd be honest. He would communicate let's see, what am I trying to say? What fits under trustworthy? I was hoping to look up the whole thing because it, for some reason, they don't have that there. Let me click on another one.
Okay.
Because it just, when you read the what it means, there it is. See if that, okay. Tells the truth, keeps his promises, honest, and people can depend on him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he fits on, that's very one-sided, but I think that's true. Loyal, true to his family. I mean, mm-hmm. gave up a college education, gave up a chance to play pro football, to come home and
yeah.
take over the business when his father died. I mean, certainly loved and supported. It was a strong family, being an immigrant, you know. We
yeah.
had a chance to see how strong family was when we went with him to Syria that time. Obviously, he's helpful, cares about people, friendly. I didn't think so at first, but I got to know him better. You know, I saw that he was.
Uh-huh.
But those are just a few. There's many others, too, but I just felt that kind of described him in my mind.
Yes.
Yeah. As this all lifelong scout.
Yeah.
Vicatia. Let's see, what else would I say of him?
Well, impressions will come as you're talking.
Yes.
First big statewide thing he did was run for governor in 74.
Mm-hmm.
Were you covering that?
Sure.
You,
yeah.
So
I was back in 72, so we uh-huh. covered that. I mean, he, in his resume of, he knocked off some big fish. I mean, he beat Kulongoski. He beat, in a primary, he beat Tom McCall.
Uh-huh.
He did lose in his first attempt.
To Bob Schrupp.
To
yeah.
Bob. And that was kind of, it was, must have been close.
It was 55-45. It wasn't that close.
Wasn't
but
that
was
close.
That was the Watergate election.
Oh, okay. Oh, all Republicans were bad.
Yeah. And so it's interesting because some of the people I'm going to meet and interview were actually Republicans in the Oregon legislature who were voted in that 74 election.
Hmm.
And so I haven't looked at that dynamic.
I see.
But, yeah. you know, may have cut off at kind of state level offices or something.
Because of what I've called his shyness,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't call him a great campaigner.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to find those qualities that we just went down
right.
by getting to know him. And a lot of candidates don't have that opportunity with people
right.
to really reveal themselves. Certainly not the charm of Mark Hatfield or the real Mark Hatfield so much. Well, he's my hero in a sense
mm-hmm.
in politics, if a reporter is allowed to have
mm-hmm.
a hero. but and not as outgoing as Tom McCall, certainly. And not as folksy as Bob Straub.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe, you know, I think campaigning was difficult for him.
Mm-hmm.
I can't quote anything he said about that.
Or, mm-hmm.
But I think it probably was. It was this shy guy. But he had a campaign, you know, and I can't tell you what he was running on, what his issues were
mm-hmm.
at that time. But he obviously was, after the next time he ran, he was obviously convincing.
Yeah.
Like I said, I guess the Republicans, I'm not sure, you know the political background
mm-hmm.
of the parties at that time,
mm-hmm.
and how he was able to beat McCall. But that's what I remember about him as a campaigner, just shy and not bursting out with, you know,
right.
openness and frankness, and not a bubbly, effervescent personality at all.
Yeah.
Just Vic, dependable Vic, I guess.
Do you remember any difference between the 74 campaign and the 78 campaign in terms of personality, or was it?
I don't.
Like the same guy?
I know. He probably obviously learned something from
mm-hmm.
that. I don't know who was his handler and,
mm-hmm.
and that, because that can change a lot too. And
mm-hmm.
I don't think we were really seeing the influence yet of national kingmakers, the people who come
right.
in and kind of give you tell you how you should look, what you should say, and all that. I think
mm-hmm.
we were still. Thank God, the grassroots Oregonians,
right.
our politics. And so trust would have a chance to come through as something you wanted
mm-hmm.
to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. So he becomes governor. Does anything jump out at you from his time as governor, just in remembering?
Well, of course,
as a
what's
reporter.
Often cited is his negotiating with the Democrats
mm-hmm.
to come up with a way to solve our economic crisis
mm-hmm.
that we were facing. Like we said, he had a relationship and he seemed to work compromise with the Democrats in the legislature when they were running it.
Mm-hmm.
that's, you know, the great, I always admired Henry Clay as a great compromiser. It was, and I think, you know, he played that role. He knew it. He knew how it worked. And mm-hmm. that was a great benefit for him, of course. What else do I remember about Vic? He seemed to, I recall he is mentioned for having elevated women to particular mm-hmm. spots. His chief of staff was a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Betty Roberts mm-hmm. that he appointed to yeah. the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
So he was, you know, kind of ahead of his time in that sense.
Yeah.
Now it's done a great deal more. But recall that civil rights seemed to be an issue for him that he mm-hmm. that he tackled. He seemed to, and I guess that's would fit in the Boy Scout law or code there mm-hmm. too, caring about people regardless of their race or any difference. I never got a feeling that he was ever prejudice against a certain person.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed to, and again, he was Arab American himself.
Yeah,
the first one from there to be elected governor of a state. Yeah. So, I mean, why would he have a prejudice
right.
in that sense?
Right.
So, I would remember that. It's more impressions with me. It's not.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
I don't have that encyclopedic mind that you do of Oregon politics, which I did, but I. that's kind of. That's what I recall. So the experience for me, and you're going to ask this eventually, I'm sure, mm-hmm. is the time when we went on the trade mission
right.
in the Middle East.
Exactly.
And really got to know him because we were close.
Yeah.
Channel 2 came along, I think, on the first leg of that when we went to Saudi Arabia. No, they went to Egypt, too.
Mm-hmm.
They went to Saudi Arabia and Egypt, and I think we were the only ones that went on to Syria
right.
with him. And he was just delighted to be in Syria. I mean, he's mm-hmm. home. And he's often come up to me since he got out of politics when I would see him or he'd see me and talk about that. He wanted yeah. me to remember how much the stories and coverage that we did on him helped him remember that experience,
yeah.
which he called one of his, I forget the exact words, but it's obviously one of his most memorable,
yeah.
happy memories
yeah.
of his life. If I could describe it for you, we landed in Damascus, and I believe he met with Assad or one of Assad's, maybe a son or something. Denny Miles would know
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But he got a chance to meet with him. Also met with the president of Egypt, who was
Mubarak.
Yeah, Mubarak at the time. And we weren't let in on any of those.
Yeah.
We were kept out, but we were told later. And so anyway, they said he could go visit giving
mm-hmm.
him permission. They sent us, but there was our Secret Service, we were told,
mm-hmm.
along with him to guard us.
Oh.
And he had three black limousines, large Mercedes,
mm-hmm.
and these guys were really roughnecks. I mean, they stuck a pistol in their belt. That was their weapon.
Yeah.
And off we went. I mean, speeding, high speeding. It was a mountain town where he's from, Ammar,
mm-hmm.
Up in the... I guess it's probably 75 miles or so, maybe a little further from Damascus.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that was hardtop, but a lot of it was just undeveloped roads.
Right.
And as they drive down those roads, they'd encounter crowds of people in the little towns, and they'd take down the window, put their pistol out, and fire shots. People, get out of the way. We're coming through. And they just drove like maniacs. One point, the front car blew a tire. And these guys were so well trained that the second, third car just went like that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, no one got hurt, and they just changed the tire, and on we went. And we went up to this little town, which is, at that time, it still felt like it was centuries old.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there is the Knights Templar had a castle, the Croc de Chevalier, very near there. And
yeah.
they kind of made that a town when
yeah.
they were on the Crusades. But
one thing I'm researching is I think that's why Vic's family is Christian. I think that mm-hmm. town is hooked to the Croc.
Ah.
And it's probably been Christian for hundreds of years.
Yeah, they call it the Valley of the Christians.
Yeah.
Even though it's a hillside area
yeah.
that they call it.
Yeah.
And as far as I know, they have done some protests since Syria became a
mm-hmm.
big issue. But I don't think there's been a crackdown as such. I didn't read anything online
mm-hmm.
about it, so... Anyway, so we went up there, and we did get to visit the castle at one point, but we first went there, and he arrived, he got out of the car, and he had to walk up this winding cobblestone street,
mm-hmm.
wide street, to where the, I guess the mayor or whatever was up there, his greeting, his mm-hmm. reception committee was up there. And as he walked, the people of the town came and they played instruments, they presented him flowers, they sang songs, they danced. It was kind of a small scale emperor of Rome coming yeah. home after a great victory or something. They were so proud of him. And of course, half the people in the town, I think, were named Atia.
Yeah.
But they led him up the hill she was carrying her bouquet of flowers, and he was just smiling ear to ear, bigger than I've ever seen him smile before. And they got up there and met the mayor and got, I suppose, what they would consider the key to the city. I didn't know all what they mm-hmm. were presenting him. But then they went and began the party. All the relatives to greet and hug.
Mm-hmm.
And it went on into the night. They were dancing, drinking, just having a fabulous time. They declared him the greatest governor of the United States from Oregon. The greatest governor of the United States. Presented him gifts. I mean, he was just, who wouldn't be overwhelmed yeah. by that kind of experience, that kind of greeting? And then the next morning he got up. We got up before him. We wanted to get the sunrise and the mm-hmm. rooster crowing and this man plowing his field with oxen and a blade, you know, mm-hmm. the way they did years and years and years ago. The whole town had that feel. We first saw him, he was visiting a Presbyterian church,
mm-hmm.
which his parents and others who had immigrated from there had sent money to build.
Oh, okay.
And so he was looking at that. And then he went down to they had a large, big as this room maybe, building, brick building, where they prepared the bread for the whole mm-hmm. town for the mm-hmm. day. It's like a pizza oven, you know,
yeah.
that kind of thing. And we watched that. And then he went to a school, met some of the school children there. But it was just that overnight, and we're back. I think we left the next day for, let's see, he left, let's see. Egypt had been the first stop. I think we left that day for our next. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we left Damascus. It was a crazy day of flying. We left Damascus. He didn't. He went on to Israel, but we didn't do that leg mm-hmm. of the visit. We flew from Damascus. We had breakfast in Damascus. We had lunch in Athens, and we had dinner in London. All in the same day with the clock rolling in
yeah.
our favor. But. Anyway, that was just, it was not only a great moment for him, it's a memory for me.
Yeah.
Something I will never forget. I'm sure Dale felt the same way. Burkholz,
he
was a shooter on that. We were falling over stone walls trying to stay ahead and get the shots of them coming up the hill. And, well, you see the video, you'll see your own description of what happened. But he was just genuinely delighted. And as I say, afterwards he would ask me, we got him a copy of the tape.
Yeah.
And, just was just a great experience. Each country was, but that was certainly the highlight of
yeah.
his trade mission.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that's what I remember most about that.
Yeah.
That's where I got to know him. I think that's where I started this
uh-huh.
answer. I got to know him because he would be able to talk to us as reporters, you know,
mm-hmm.
one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
He even took us, Dale and I. There was a Saudi sheikh that had offered him his jet, his Learjet, to
mm-hmm.
take the governor to show him this new town they were building at a refinery
mm-hmm.
built around an oil field, new kinds of architecture and
yeah.
things. It was right on the, what's the body of water? Not the Red Sea, but the other side where you
can,
Persian Gulf.
Persian Gulf.
And so we went on that trip with him. I got to
uh-huh.
sit with him and talk with him, and you just get to know a person better.
Yeah.
Your whole, all those images are changed that you
yeah.
have of them, impressions that you have of them.
Yeah.
He was truly a friendly man. And we weren't, we're going to do stories, but it wasn't, I didn't feel like he was trying to politically charm us.
Yeah.
Just Dick. That's what I
remember
from that.
Talking to Vic's brother, I've interviewed Ed, his older brother who's still alive.
Uh-huh.
Last I talked to Edward was in December, taking back a book. And apparently when Vic died, they opened up the family home mm-hmm. in Amar and had a big open house and
wow.
basically a wake there for him.
Well, that one, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me really, but yeah. That's wonderful that they did that. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah, he was, well, he was just a huge hero because of what he'd done in the United States as a governor. That was a was like a president almost to them, I guess, in a sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great touch.
Yeah. What do you remember about going to Saudi Arabia? You took this great trip in the Learjet. Mm-hmm.
We landed. Riyadh is where we ended up, but there's another town, a city, big city near Mecca.
Jeddah.
Jeddah is where we landed first, and we spent time there. we didn't have that same kind of access we had later on when we got to fly with him to that town. But they whisked him around. He met. Met with Saudi leaders. They were interested in, it was a trade mission, so they were interested in introducing Oregon wheat farmers, for example, to their wheat farmers. This guy, he showed us his wheat field, and of course it was totally subsidized by the government. Right. And I asked him, what if your crop goes bad? Oh, he said, no problem, we have oil underneath this wheat field. So, yeah, no worry about crop failure.
Whatever.
But so he went from one thing to another. He met with their different councils that they had of people in charge of these agricultural products and things where he was interested. You had to have someone, you had to have a partnership in order to do business with Saudi Arabia. They weren't going to just do business with you directly. You had to have a Saudi involved in it. And I just remember him going a lot of places, and some places, well, from our point of view, it was not always the most media-friendly, because they actually cover your camera if they did something, or push it away if they didn't want you to shoot something that they felt was a government installation. Of course, here you have a Newsweek magazine, and they black out things.
Yeah.
You buy it off the stands, but it's blacked out. Pictures are completely covered, and what they don't want you to see. We saw a man switching women near the mosque who weren't covered appropriately. Mm-hmm. And we saw people sitting back in the shade who had hands cut off for stealing. Of course, for more serious crimes, they'd take their head off. And you know, so it was a whole different experience than we're used to in the United States. But I don't know how he reacted to that, but I imagine that was very different than what he saw in Egypt, for example. But I guess those are my memories, just going everywhere with him and doing a lot of stories about the wheat crop. They built a little tent, set up a little tent for us, and laid out these mats and brought all this food for the Oregonians, trade mission people, and the governor to sit there and eat. And it was so they really wanted business, but on their terms.
Yeah.
You know, I learned that I cannot shake hands. Or I cannot shake hands with the right hand, because that's the one you wipe with. So you have to use the left hand. Mm-hmm. Or when you take food, you have to take it with the left hand, too, in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
But it was quite a cultural shock, I'm sure, to him, too. Yeah. Those would be the memories from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. And Egypt, same kinds of things, or?
Egypt.
I mean, you have to know, we have records of all these trade missions.
Sure.
And there are some things where, like when he goes to East Asia, he will have 75 things a day.
To do, to see.
Yeah, shake hand here, talk to you here.
That was get impression. That was the impression I had, that he had to touch all these bases before the day was over.
Yeah.
And it was true in Egypt, too. Denny would keep track of where he was going to be going. And, of course, they drive like crazy in Egypt. He did watch, well, there were a couple of cool events. We went to the pyramids and saw their show, their night show that they had. And we went on the Nile. They had him and the trade mission people on the Nile, and they brought out a belly dancer on this boat as you're going down the Nile one evening, one night, for that matter. I remember those things. Remember, the CBS Bureau there was just like it was out of a movie, you know, with the fans turning and open windows. It was really something. And they had, of course, they had guards, machine gun guards on the radio station, all around the radio station, didn't want it to be captured. But more of my impressions than his, because we were kept separate in that, unless they wanted us to be there to shoot pictures of that. And he was, again, he didn't seek us out, but I guess you know, every time we wanted to ask him a question, he would stop and answer it.
Mm-hmm.
But he was mm-hmm. on a mission, I guess, like you say, there were a lot of things to do. And so, Egypt, and we didn't go beyond Cairo. I think we stayed in Cairo the entire time.
Uh-huh.
I was back another time when we got to go downriver, but it was pretty much, or upriver, but it was pretty much in that when we were in Cairo.
Yeah.
It was, okay. The sandstorm was on the other vicinity. Anyway,
yeah.
So it was pretty typical.
Yeah.
But Syria was different. This was they took him out to the, and we were surrounded by Iranians
mm-hmm.
who got off a tour bus, all these, what do they call them? Ayatollahs or whatever they are. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they all got off at this ruins, which was just below the heights there, where Golan Heights,
mm-hmm.
where the Israelis had fired down mm-hmm. and had essentially destroyed this town. They wanted mm-hmm. us to see what the Israelis would do. And that was something I sensed, and I think he sensed too, just the hatred there was back and forth, hatred for the Israelis. I mean, you see a farmer standing in his field, his rifle was not very far away, ready to defend his land if Israel invaded again.
Mm-hmm.
That was in the back of their minds. But anyway, those are my impressions, not his. But we did go there, and he got a tour, as he did each place,
mm-hmm.
somebody, a guy mm-hmm. who would answer his questions. That's
I know that when you guys left, when he was in Israel, they actually took him to the other side of that line.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh,
so Denny talks about seeing, we were just there.
Yeah. Oh,
but here's the, the way they think about it and what it looks like from here.
Hmm. Yeah, the artillery was up there. That's where they were. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. I'd never known that.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you had this great experience seeing him in,
mm-hmm.
A family place, and that's the first time that he'd been there since, I think, 1929.
Mm.
He went when he was six.
Oh, just a boy, yeah.
Yeah. In a fascinating trip. It was basically because of the rug business. So dad and uncle had business, and the family went along.
Oh.
They bought a car here in Portland and had it shipped to Syria.
Oh, my gosh.
So when they got there, the family was able to drive around in this car.
Oh.
Just amazing.
American car. So
they're
familiar with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just, but the first time, that he'd been there since 1929. As you're describing it and when he talks about it, it's just an amazing experience.
Well, and he had access. They allowed him access to leaders that probably somebody else might, another governor wouldn't have had access to because of that link that he had, that important connection with his country, with the Middle East.
Yeah.
He went to a city council meeting. Again, we weren't there, but Denny told us later that they were discussing a new water system
mm-hmm.
for the city of Damascus.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that the older one, it was kind of springing leaks, it had been built by the Romans. They built things well in those days.
I guess so.
But anyway, so he would go to those kind of things to actually see a Damascus city council meeting discussing water pipes. But he just had all kinds of access.
Yeah.
The visits. Dale, I think Dale actually got in for a period of time when he was in Egypt with the president
mm-hmm.
and Mubarak, and actually got in to shoot them. Because we had pictures of them together, and the sound bites I heard from that particular, they were just cordial things.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? What did you see when you were there?
And they shoo everybody out. And
yeah,
talk.
Yeah. It was, if there was anything really, what would an American governor, although he is of Syrian descent, what do you have to say? I guess they probably talked. There were wars going on all around. We were standing there in the Persian on the Persian Gulf. Iran and Iraq were fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Lebanon had.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where the barracks was blown up?
Yeah,
Hostage
taking all going on,
Russia was in Afghanistan, all that stuff was around, right around that area.
Yeah.
That really hit you when you thought about it. So he could discuss those kinds of issues,
mm-hmm.
I guess. And you would probably know
mm-hmm.
from the notes that were kept what was discussed. But we weren't in those, so I can't really say.
Yeah. Do you have impressions about what this did to his identity as an Arab American? My memory time is it was a non-issue. Voters didn't think about it. It wasn't, you know, if you thought about Vicatea, it was the rug guys.
Sure,
Portland.
An image more than, yes.
Yeah, so. But it didn't have Arab American, not any
no,
part
I don't
of it at all.
I don't remember anything about that. That was,
so when you came back, did you see any more Arab Americanness, or was it just...
Mm-mm. It's
okay.
Like someone going to visit their home in another country, I guess.
Yeah.
It wouldn't... Yeah, I never... I mean, he looked very Caucasian in
yeah.
that respect. Walking down the street, never guess he was...
Yeah.
He was not of dark complexion or anything like that, which is one of the stereotypes people use for.
Right.
But no, I don't think it played a role. I mean, certainly nothing like Catholicism would play in Kennedy's campaigns or, you know.
Yeah.
It was, I would say it was a non-issue, but I could be wrong.
This is his dad in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
His dad looks really Arab.
Mm-hmm, he does.
And
he does.
Vic's son, Tom,
looks
almost
like
exactly
dad.
Like that.
Mm. Yeah, whereas he's more of a nice blend of the two of them,
yeah.
the genes of both
yeah.
of them. Yeah. Hmm. He looks tough. That's
yeah.
That's
yeah.
the way I Vic
yeah.
looked to me at first.
Yeah. And there's
and
a family thing.
He's built like he could take on like a wrestler almost.
Yeah.
You know, he's got those hairy arms. That just
yeah.
The last time I saw him was in Washington Square.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter and I were walking down the. And there, and I saw him. He was a little bit humped over, but he was pumping.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I stopped him. Went up mm-hmm. and I stopped him. And again, he brings up Amar. But then I said, "Were you, are you exercising? Are you, you know, are you walking
mm-hmm.
for exercise?" And he said, "No, no." He says, "I'm coming to get a pair of slippers." That was kind of the focus, you know. The guy,
right.
had. Of course, a lot of men do when they shop. They have certain things they're going to get, and
right.
that's all. But he just, he was a bit genuinely friendly again. He remembered me, and he. Talked about Amar.
Uh-huh.
It just was a huge highlight in his life and one we'd shared together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I'm really going to be focusing on is these immigrants, because this, you know, the parents are born just about 10 miles apart. Mom is from about 10 miles over into what's Lebanon now. So she grew up, as far as I can tell, with Beirut as her focus. And French was the first language, and Arabic was the second
mm-hmm.
language. Whereas Dad grew up with the Arabic, the first language,
mm.
French.
Oh.
So just interesting cultural things.
Sure.
And those countries didn't exist then. It was the Ottoman Empire.
Oh.
The lines hadn't been drawn until the 1920s.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So just
after
fascinating
the war,
things.
Yeah.
But immigrants are known as Democrats.
Hmm.
He was just a hardcore Republican.
Republican.
And so I'm going to be doing research. Is it were Arab Americans Republicans? Was it businessmen? And you know, what did you know? You think immigrants? They don't first generation ones
mm-hmm.
don't own successful businesses like a rug business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you know, what was going on there?
Mm-hmm.
Something different than we usually see.
So
in
they came
store.
Here when?
Turn of the century. There was an Atiyah Brothers thing at the Lewis and Clark Exposition.
Mm-hmm. So FDR hadn't been president for 4 terms yet, so there wasn't that influence.
No,
yeah, right.
no. So there's there's a very interesting thing.
But yeah.
Edward tells stories. His dad would have all the Republicans over to his house for election night.
That's very interesting.
And because this is 1928 was the only successful election night. And after that, they'd come over and they'd have a party for about 2 hours, and then it'd get really quiet, and they'd all go home. As the Democrats would win nationwide.
Yeah,
right. Just
that's Coolidge, 28, or?
Hoover.
Hoover. That's
yeah.
where you've been Coolidge's.
Hoover. Yeah.
In his cabinet. Yeah.
Edward and his brother, twin brother Richard are 1921, October. And then Vic was born in February or January of 23.
Hmm,
so right. The first real election they remember is 28.
Yeah. Now that
yeah.
is that's you've got some great angles on his life
yeah.
story. That's great,
yeah.
Jim. Already popping out,
yeah,
popping out at you. Yeah.
So you know, he leaves office in 87. You're a reporter for a considerable time after that.
Mm-hmm.
do you remember him as an ex-governor?
Again, making many appearances with Democrats, with Democratic governors.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there didn't. They wouldn't invite him, or I'm sure they wouldn't have invited another Republican that
mm-hmm.
had not been so compromising or so close to,
uh-huh.
to Democrats. That was kind of a period, you remember that too, nationally. I think it was all the Republicans who were moderates, even progressives in those days, you know, the Hatfields, the Percys, the Brooke,
yeah.
Brooke who just died, yeah. you know, Rockefeller. There are all those people who we don't see right now anyway in leading the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And so he kind of fit that mold too, I thought, as as our governor. But yeah, I just remember him for causes, you know, things he thought we should, he agreed with others that we should, as Oregonians, be doing. I remember that. I don't try to remember where, just a lot of those. And I covered some of those, and some of them was anchoring, so I always saw them on the news
right.
that night. Anything specifically, just that. He would choose those public appearances to support some initiative that he thought. And he'd speak out. We would ask him questions about issues, too, on what were up for election.
Yeah.
So he didn't hide. He didn't run away. He
he
certainly used his many trade connections, which he had made during his trade missions
right.
as governor, to become this international
right.
trade guy. And
right.
So he prospered because of being governor.
Yeah.
Some would say that's wrong. Others would say, you know.
Yeah, and that's another thing I'm going to be looking at carefully.
Yeah.
You know, what value did he bring, or would affect people paying him for what he'd done as governor?
Right.
And so you look at that.
It's that influence peddling.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Essentially.
And,
yeah.
But one of the fascinating stories about him is that he told me himself. He'd been governor for a while, and he called up his brothers and said, I'm not coming back to the business. Mm. And what he discovered is it's a lot more fun to make decisions by yourself.
Yes.
Than to have to coordinate
sure.
everything. And there was no animosity. The brothers actually worked well together.
Yeah.
But he just said, you know, I'm going to be in my mid-60s,
mm-hmm.
and I need to earn some money, and I'm done with the rug business.
He didn't feel like there might have been a conflict of interest with trade ties for rug merchants, essentially, or buying rugs from all over the world?
No, and in fact, talking with Ed, and I have the archives from the business. I need to get more stuff from the business.
Mm-hmm.
When Vic was governor, not legislature, when he was governor, they were just absolutely clear. Nothing that has to do with the state of Oregon anywhere.
Yeah. Okay.
No business at all.
Oh.
And I don't know if they had business before that or not. But whatever it is, they said, there's
yeah.
a line.
Well, sure they would have bought Persian rugs and
yeah.
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Imported them. But
yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was good. That was good. Kind of like putting your blind trust or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
here's a picture. They would go over to Seaside all the time. So my favorite is this.
Oh, that's great.
Your governor is one of these butts.
Butts.
Right here.
That's great.
I think it's this one.
Oh.
But, you know, I can't swear to anything.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's a terrific picture.
This is from a book where you send it off to Apple,
oh,
and they'll do stuff. But one of Edward's daughters put this together. So there's Vic.
I was going to say that looks
yeah.
like, yeah.
And brother, and then this is
he already looked like he could play guard for the Packers.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Gosh. Yeah. He was just solid.
He was solid. And one thing I found out, because he and his brothers all went to U of O together in 1941.
Hmm.
But he's a year and a half younger. He skipped a grade.
Oh.
And
was it his birthday was late in the year?
No, his birthday was January, February.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's back in the middle.
So he either flunked a grade or they held him back, or maybe.
No, he skipped a grade, so he moved forward. His brothers were here.
Okay, wanted to be.
So they were then, so he was 2 years behind, then he was 1 year behind. But in those days, you graduated from high school, there was a January graduating class and a June graduating class.
Mm.
So his brothers graduated in January of 41,
mm.
and Vic graduated in June of 41.
Oh,
and then they all went to college together in 1941.
Oh, you're just learning so many interesting things.
Yeah, and so I had no idea in the world.
Oh, no. That's great. Again, there's that strength of family.
Yeah.
You know, closeness
yeah.
of family,
yeah.
unity of family.
So important to them.
Right.
So important to them.
Yeah.
So any other impressions of Vic? You know, place in history? You know, he didn't like to say it, you know, as the last Republican governor. He said, no, just the latest Republican governor.
Yeah, that's right.
The most recent
that.
Republican governor.
Yeah. well, things are going to have to, there's going to have to be a monumental change for, I think, and you will probably would agree, to see another one anytime soon. Not that that can happen. Politics is, you know, strange.
Oh, yeah.
Strange history, way it goes up and down. There's a book you should read if you haven't already. It's called Day in America, 1927. I believe that's the title. And it has all the amazing things that happened in that one year.
Yeah, you know, I read that. Because it's Lindbergh's flight, but it's also some other things.
Yeah, happened. Wasn't that great?
Yeah.
I mean, I just every once in a while I go back to it and read a couple pages and chew on something that was there. Yeah. But anyway, why did I bring that up?
Some reason. Republican governors?
Well, that was...
Vic's fourth birthday?
It soon became, you know, there was Harding. Was he a Democrat?
Oh, no, Harding's Republican.
Republicans. See, he's often Wilson, at the bottom of the list as the worst governor ever.
Yeah.
For all the Teapot Dome, which came out, I guess, more after he was dead. But a lot of that fraud that went on in his administration.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then the Democrats took over because, you know, they figured, voters figured the Republicans had blown their chance. And so it was a long period of time for Democrats until Eisenhower came along.
Yeah.
I guess he was sort of a Democrat in some ways. I mean, he had to decide which party he was going to run for president. But that was kind of a transition that we saw the Republicans come back again. So, you know, I suppose that could happen. But, you know, it just gave him more notoriety, I guess, in that sense, since he was the last one.
Mm-hmm.
If there had been two others, Republicans after him that had been governor, maybe he wouldn't have been that noticed.
Yeah,
but he really stood out because of that.
Yeah,
I wish I had. I'm just, like I said, I'm flattered you even asked me. I just don't have a lot of memories, just general impressions.
You know, and that's perfect because I mean it's been a long time since he was governor.
Yeah.
And you're one of the younger people I'm interviewing.
Yeah. Well, like I say, I feel that he mellowed certainly after he was governor. If he left the political fray, so to speak. He became more, I don't know, I think he was genuine all the time. I think he just didn't know how to, you know, expose himself, to let his attributes be known to people as a politician, because that kind of creates distance between you and the voter, whether you want to or not. And sometimes when you try to close that distance, you're judged as phony.
Yeah.
And, he didn't want to be phony to anybody, so it's just I really admired him. As I say, I got to know him so much better on that that trip, and was impressed with him. I think that's it. I can't.
Yeah. Really, well, that's great.
I think of something.
That's great.
But,
I'm
glad you're doing the book. It certainly needs to be done. And boy, you're finding some great, very newsworthy. All angles to the story.
Yeah, all sorts of little interesting things. It's getting to the stage now where I think at least once a week I have to sit down and just write up. Because projects like this you can't keep in your head. They're just too big.
Right.
But it's now, you know, I just need to write these things up, just put them in a file.
Is it interrupting your sleep?
No. Although I had a weird dream about doing interviews on Atiya stuff the other night, and then couldn't get out of the parking lot because it needed exact change and I didn't have any. My wife said, really? You haven't hardly started this thing yet.
Dreams, yeah. Well, I can see how someone could become obsessed with, you know, a mission like this.
And you know, talking to other people who've done biographies, you begin to identify with your subject.
Mm-hmm.
So you're writing... You know, I'm writing as a historian and a political scientist, and he's the topic in getting into these things, but he's just a nice guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good nice guy. That's maybe part of your title.
Yeah. And so getting, you know, raising the questions that need to be raised, and he was totally upfront. His archives have no conditions on them whatsoever.
Yeah, there's that Boy Scout law again.
Yeah. If you find dirt, you put it in there.
Mm-hmm.
There may be some that is inadvertent. When he went to Syria, I don't know for which trip, but there was a rich guy who came up and said, You go to the market and you buy whatever you want.
Oh.
I'll pay for it.
Hmm.
Okay? And so they did.
Hmm.
And what the deal is, you then go back to the United States, where currency can't travel between Syria and the United States. He gives you his daughter's address, and you send the daughter the amount of money that you spent. So it's a way to smuggle money out of Syria.
Oh, that's very interesting. Yeah.
And so this is, you know, for Vic, it's a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
It might be part of the way he understands culture, whatever. Did he violate federal currency regulations?
Yeah.
You
that's know? Very interesting.
So, there's
yeah.
just very interesting little things. Because as you said, you said when he made up his mind about something, he just stuck with
mm-hmm.
it. And he did that in all sorts of parts of his life.
Mm-hmm.
He did an interview with the Oregon Historical Society, wonderful interviews, oral history in the early 90s. And he was going on and on and on about how the legislators now were paid so much money they didn't need to work other jobs. They're getting paid $18,000 a year.
Ooh.
But for him, remembering $600...
Oh, sure.
Then, well,
right.
you don't have to have a second job in the legislature now. It's like,
well, right.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you sure do. And he had a very profitable business going.
Yeah.
Well, as you say, not when he was governor, buddy.
Well, he did. It turns out he was being paid the salary. Well, not when he was governor, but when he was in the legislature, even when he wasn't there, they paid him his straight salary the whole time. Because one thing Vic was saying was about going into business after being governor, he had to do it because he spent so much time in politics, he hadn't been able to earn enough money for retirement and stuff. And so, chasing down exactly what that meant, he was getting paid his regular salary when he was in the legislature.
So,
and he's a shareholder the whole time anyway.
Sure. So what?
So,
18,000 was plenty.
But so but he'd make up his mind about something, by gosh, that was it.
Yeah. Yeah. But he still could compromise. That's the interesting thing too. But when he was sure he's wrong, well, that's a Davy Crockett thing. He's sure he's right, he went ahead or he could go ahead, whatever.
Well, but he'd do it if it made sense. But he also prioritized what was important to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he had made up his mind about something, but it was number 15 on his list, and it went the other way, that's the way it is.
I do remember one other time we did when it was his last day in office, we went down to Salem. And actually, we started in his home up here.
Oh, and drove down.
And drove down with him.
Yeah.
And went through the whole day with him. And it was... it was one of those, he had a delightful time. I can't recall any false steps or, there wasn't an impression of anything really strange happening, but it was just.
Did you come back up here with him?
No, we didn't come back. We came back ourselves because we had to get the story done for a deadline. But
so the end of the story is they got home and Dolores looked at him.
It was more
and
of
said,
a feature story in that respect.
We're home finally. And Vic looked around and the state troopers, as a courtesy, Goldschmidt had told them, as a courtesy, you drive him home. But then the state troopers left. And he's all by himself.
Oh.
And Barbara Roberts talks about the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh. So that was a joke that his son, Tom, told at the service, and Vic told billions of times. One day you're a peacock, and the next day you're the feather duster.
That's great.
And you see, there's another thing we have is, I think it's his fishing licenses. His fishing license when he's in governor is fishing license number one for every year.
Oh.
And then in 1987, it's fishing license number 3,458 or whatever.
Oh, he had to buy it himself. Right. Oh, God. Well, he probably bought the other ones too. But
yeah.
Yeah. I just remember, I didn't come home with him in that respect. But that's an interesting angle to that story to him. Yeah, that old roll top desk he had back in the governor's office, showing me some things about that. I remember some, but I don't recall. That's my problem. My mind isn't sharp enough to remember exactly what he said about them. But
it's a long time.
Well, great. You've got a great memory, Jim. So it which serves you so well.
We
I never could stump you on it. Nobody could stump you on the question. You always had a good answer.
Yeah. That was when I was doing the elections with COIN. Jeff